Good morning, 12th Street. Morning. Let's stand together. We're going to open this morning with Oh Happy Day.
The greatest day in history. Death is beaten. You have rescued me, singing out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. Happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours. Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way. Happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Forever I am changed.
Street. You may be seated. It is great to be here today, isn't it? It beats standing outside in the rain, doesn't it? Well, I hope that that's your testimony this morning, that forever you have been changed because Jesus has washed your sin away. And this morning, we're going to go to the Lord in communion. And as we take communion this morning, it is all about His sacrifice, His blood, His death, and His resurrection. And this morning, as we look at Mark 13, the final parable in our parable series in the book of Mark, and as we look at the final parable, we will see that not only did He die for our sins, not only did He rise from the dead, but He is coming back. And what a great day that will be when He comes back. Well, let's take our bulletins. We have a few announcements to go through. First of all, the very top announcement, business meeting, that was last week. It somehow did not get out of the bulletin, so no business meeting today. We have upward basketball registrations are going right now. Right, we have 87 kids that have signed up, which is, at this point, we're about a third more than we had signed up last year at this point. We're hoping for a little over 200 kids is what we're expecting and hoping for. So, if you know somebody that needs to register, get them registered. And we will be looking for referees, coaches, And Kevin's working out the people that are sharing half times. But if you'd love to share your testimony, it's a great opportunity. On a given Saturday morning, we'll have 1,000 people come through our gym. And so you'll have an awesome opportunity to share your testimony if you'd like to do that to small groups of about 200 or so. So next Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we have two more hoops. If you'll see, we put two of the hoops up on the sidewalls in the gym. We have two more to put up. We have some electrical work that needs to be done. So if you'd like to come out and help with that, that starts at 10 a.m. And on December 5th, we are hosting Bethany Christian Services Holiday Banquet. Bethany Christian Services helps place orphans with families. It's a Christian organization. They do their best to place people into Christian homes. And what we can do with this event, we're hosting the event, but if we could just have people from our church to be servers, refill coffee, refill drinks, take care of plates when people are done eating. And so if you would like to participate in helping out with that, you can sign up for that at the Welcome Center. Men's basketball starts up this Tuesday. Any guys that would like to get out there and shed some pounds, you can join me. Also, those who would like to volunteer to help shovel, probably in a week or two, we might need some help shoveling the snow, okay? We do have a snow blower, just in case you're wondering. But if you would like to help with that, we'd like to not have the same people have to do it every week. So if you could sign up for that at the Welcome Center as well. And November 11th, next weekend, is the annual Parade of Lights. I think we have something like over 80 people that are signed up to go right now down there to Shipshawana. So if you're going to go, make sure you get signed up, because Autumn needs to get those the reservations to Das Essenhaus called in for that dinner. And there's a lot of other announcements there in your bulletin. Read through your bulletin so you know what's going on. I am just excited about what God is doing. If you haven't had the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, I want to encourage you this week. Take one of the tracts that we have at the Welcome Center. Take it with you. And when you're done eating, if you're at a restaurant, or if you run into somebody and you have some time, or you're just sitting there, some of you wait around for your kids a lot at different events, right? And you're just sitting there and you're talking with other parents, a great discussion starter would be pull out a tract, hand it to them, and talk with them. And I had the opportunity this week. I was waiting for somebody to arrive to meet with me. And while I was sitting there waiting, I got to share Jesus with them. And we live in America, right? This person had never heard the word gospel. They had never heard a definition of the gospel. And they had never heard that God would send his son to die for their sins. And I thought, we live in America. And then I thought, you know what? We got work to do, don't we? And so let's get to work. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for who you are. You are the one who devised the awesome plan that would create the only hope for our eternal salvation, that Jesus Christ would take on flesh and that you would die for our sins. And Lord, there is not enough we could do or say to say thank you for what you have done. But I thank you, Lord, that you don't require our works for salvation, because you have done all the work. And so this morning, Lord, our aim and our goal is to remember what you've done and to bring you praise for what you have done. And it is a happy day to remember what you have done for us. It is a glorious day as well to think about the fact that someday Jesus Christ will return to this earth and become the physical ruling king, and that you will do away with all of the things that have held down our faith, all the things that have gone against your work, and you, Lord Jesus, will reign as king. We look forward to that day. And so until that day, we want to be faithful servants, faithful stewards, and Lord, we want to be faithful in our praises to your holy name. And so this morning, everything we do is for you, because you have given us so much. You are the awesome God. To you be honor and glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. All right, if we could find our seats, and if I could have the deacons come forward. And as the deacons are coming up here, I want to read from you to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says in verse 18, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before another his own supper. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Don't you have houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that also which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You know, as we go to communion here together, I think what Paul started out in saying to the church of Corinth is really a necessary thought. He says, I hear that there are divisions among you. And that shouldn't be. And so before we go to communion, I'm going to ask you to do this. There are two things that I think we should evaluate. Number one, do I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't take communion. It won't do anything for you. This is a remembrance to help us to think about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave his body to be broken. That's why we eat the bread. To allow his blood to be spilled. That's why we drink the juice. And his blood is the payment for our sin. And so if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, won't do anything for you. Instead, what I would ask you to do is right now think about the fact that you need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because if you do not put your faith and trust in Jesus, in fact, in Romans 10:13, it says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask him to save you, this morning you can have the greatest thing happen to you. You can become a child of God. You can be saved this morning. So the first thing is think about, have you trusted Jesus? The second thing, do you have a problem with a brother or sister Christ? If you do, we have a few moments of quiet. The music will be playing quietly. The men will be handing out the elements. We have a phone in the office. Most of you have a cell phone. If you have a problem with somebody, if you have to go call them and get it taken care of. God doesn't want us to have divisions. If you have a problem with somebody here in the church, go put your arm around them. Tell them you need to pray with them. Get it made right. Because what we're doing, we're not just having communion with God. We are also communing with each other, with God. And so, as we take part in communion this morning, it should be an awesome thing, a wonderful thing. And then the passage, Paul, as he talks about what Jesus said, he said, do this until he returns. And this morning we're going to talk about the return of Jesus through the parable of the fig tree. And I'm really excited about the message. But to think about the fact that he wants us to remember through communion his death until he returns. Let's honor him by the way we take communion this morning. Don, could you ask a blessing on the bread? took the bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body. This do in remembrance of me." Scott, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now in the scriptures, Jesus and his disciples, they had the first Lord's Supper. They sang a hymn and they went out. So we're going to stand up together and we're going to sing. We're going to sing about Jesus' death and his resurrection. And we're going to sing about his return, all right? And so it's, as we sing together, let's just let our hearts reflect to God through the praise of our lips.
Come awake, come awake, come and rise.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands and healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, and rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, and rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glory. Day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing, my Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, and rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Father, we so look forward to the glorious day when you're coming again. Father, I just pray that as the pastor comes, that our hearts are prepared for the message that you have for us. I just pray you pour out your spirit on him, and Father, just use him in a mighty way this morning. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Will the ushers come forward, please? Opportunity to be in your house this morning, Father, as we hear the message brought forth. And we're so thankful we have this opportunity to give back what you've so plentifully given to us, Father. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
For us to get into announcement that there is cake in the lobby afterwards. Happy birthday to that.
Upon his back he knew this was the beginning of the end. With every fragile step he grew more and more determined to finish it. The world saw a man with the tree. God saw his son, whom he loved, carry more than that.
Oh, he didn't just carry a cross, he carried me.
Heart close against his shoulders as he wept. Love beyond a moment scarred the hands and feet of one I'd never met. The world saw a man die a martyr between two. Oh,
you, choir. And at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And I'll just say, I am a very, very blessed individual. I want to thank Cheryl for the cake that's out there. And she and Lynn have been wonderful to work with. And I'm just so blessed to have them working with me. And they work all week full-time for free. It doesn't get any better than that, right? And they work like we pay them $1 million. So thank you to both of them. You've made it very special, so thank you. And, well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 13. Jeff Foxworthy has a little bit he does on "You Might Know You're a Redneck After the Rapture." And I've had to clean it up a little bit, but if the passing of all humanity into ruin fills you with profound sadness, because there won't be any more Mountain Dew, you might be a redneck. If all the copies of the Bible are destroyed in an instant, and you try to recreate the Bible from memory, but you keep getting it mixed up with the lines from Shrek 2, you might be a redneck. If you witness the sublime terror of God's hand in the sky, and all you can think is whether or not there's going to be a lotto on Tuesday, you might be a redneck. And if you see a horse with a scorpion tail and the face of a man, and you tell your wife to get the shotgun, and she has to ask you which one, you might be a redneck. Mark chapter 13. In Mark 13, it's the last parable in the book of Mark that Jesus shared with the people. And as we look at this one, I think it has some very significant, gives us some significant insight into God's expectations of us concerning the end times events. And there is very specifically something that we are supposed to be doing. And if you're not doing this, then you're not right. All right? So keep that in mind as we read this. Mark chapter 13 and verse 28. It says this: "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house comes, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." According to what Jesus tells us here, there are some signs that we should see that should sound the alarm for us. When we see the signs, then we know the time is near. We are, very clearly the passage tells us, we are to be watching. The parable is this. It's a very simple parable. When the fig tree's branch is tender, when it's soft, and it begins to sprout leaves, know that summer is near. In Israel, the fig tree was the last of all the trees for its leaves to come onto it. And when you would see the leaves start to sprout on the fig tree, that was, you could look at that and you know, summer is here. If the fig tree is the gauge for summer being near, Jesus says, the fig leaves are the sign of summer. Here's what you are to do. You are to watch for the signs of the fig tree or the events that demonstrate the summer of the harvest of humanity. So here are the signs that are given to us in this passage. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, it tells us that there's an event to watch for, that when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Whoso readeth, let him understand. This abomination of desolation. See, the abomination of desolation is an event that's described in Scripture many times. Jesus doesn't go into a lot of depth and detail in Mark 13 on this event, but the people of Israel were very familiar with the abomination of desolation. Now, just those words are pretty scary, right? Abomination and desolation, right? I mean, it sounds like apocalyptic type speech, right? It's because it is. Now, what is the term abomination of desolation a reference to? Well, there is an event that will take place in the future where a man will stand up in the temple of God showing himself that he is God, and he will cause all sacrifice, both sacrifice that's obligatory and sacrifice that is out of free will, he'll cause it to stop. And when he says, no more sacrifice is needed, he'll do that because he'll say, I am God. And he will claim in 2 Thessalonians 2, it tells us that he will put himself above all that is called God. And so this is the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist stands in the temple showing himself that he is God. And that comes the same time the abomination of desolation is, he causes sacrifice to cease. So that's the first sign that we see in the passage. And then in Mark chapter 13 and verse 24, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, that the sun will go dark and the moon will cease to shine her lights. There'll be stars that fall from heaven. There'll be a great earthquake. And it talks about these events. And with the sun and moon going dark and those events, that's the second sign that he says to watch for. Now, it's very clear in Mark chapter 13 and verse 24 that sign happens after the tribulation. So when you read through Jesus and what he teaches on the tribulation, in Matthew chapter 24 and in Mark 13, they teach it the same way. And then if you go over in your Bible, and you'll read in Revelation chapter 13, and you'll read about when the Antichrist comes onto the scene. One of the main things that he does is he creates a war with the saints. Now, why is he at war with the saints? Because he stands up in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. He says, no more sacrifices need to be done because I am God. And you know what? True believers in God, those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to look at him and they're going to go, you are not God. And he will go to war with all those who don't believe in him. That is tribulation. In Matthew chapter 24, it describes that the great tribulation is a period of time where Mark 13 also tells us, flee to the mountains if you're in Judea. Get to the hills. Because the great tribulation has come. And that great tribulation period of time is the time where the Antichrist is waging war with saints. So the sun and moon go dark after the tribulation, but also the sun and moon go dark before God's wrath. In Revelation chapter 6, it outlines several events that will take place. And then it gives us that event when the sun and moon go dark. And that's the sixth seal. And then after it tells us about the sixth seal, it says, now is the great day of his wrath come. So his wrath does not come on the earth. God is not the seven trumpets and seven vials, if you don't know what they are. That's okay. On Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., I'm doing a study through Revelation. So if you'd like to come out and join that, we're having a lot of fun. And we're just verse by verse learning it. So But the time of God's wrath does not take place until after the tribulation. The time of God's wrath does not happen until after the sun and moon go dark. Okay? So that's a typo up there. This happens before. Yes, the sun and moon go dark before God's wrath. Everybody with me there? Sun and moon go dark before God's wrath. Then the third thing we see in Mark chapter 13 and verses 26 and 27, we see that Jesus gathers together the saved. He gathers them after the tribulation, and he gathers them before God's wrath. All right, this is the way that Jesus teaches it. You say you're not using the word rapture or anything like that. I'm not using those words because Jesus didn't use those words. So I'm just going to use the words that Jesus used. Okay, there's a gathering that takes place, and it happens after the tribulation, and it happens before God's wrath. So let's just make this practical for us. Because all of this kind of, let's just be honest, sometimes because every generation since Jesus has been looking for these things and it hasn't happened, sometimes it kind of seems like a fairy tale, right? Sometimes it just kind of feels like, it's not for us, it's for somebody else, and so why do I have to worry about it? But what did Jesus say? He said, watch. And we should be watching. And before he tells us to watch, he said, now learn the parable of the fig tree. After he shares the parable of the fig tree, and he describes the events that will happen, that there will be a time of tribulation. After that, the sun and moon will go dark. And then after that, he'll gather together saved people. And then he shares with us the story about a master who had servants. And he had servants, he had some that worked, and he had some that were porters, those who watched. And they all had their job to do. And Jesus shares the story with the thought of, you don't want the master to come back and you not be watching or be working. You need to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so Jesus says, watch. So I want to give you some things that you can legitimately be watching for in the world today. Number one, the temple being built. Now, if the Antichrist has to stand in the temple of God and show himself that he is God, there needs to be a temple of God, right? I mean, let's just be logical. Now, I know some people that think that this is an underground secret temple. I don't think at all that's what this is talking about. Why would it be such a big world event? Why would it be such a huge happening if it was all done in secret? Because what follows the Antichrist standing up and declaring that he's God is he's going to tell everyone, you need to take a mark. And if you don't take his mark, you can't buy, sell, or trade. And so if all of that was done in secret, then where's the big decision to take a mark? No, it's got to be very public. So what do we watch for first? We watch for a temple being built. Tell you what, if they start building a temple up either in the place of the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount or next to the Dome of the Rock, you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be practicing my jumping legs, okay? When we were singing Glorious Day and that horn part came out, anybody else here just want to go? Just woo! Lord, take me. So what can we be watching for? Watch world events. Right now, Palestine has control of the Temple Mount. We went there a few years ago. Who's got control of the Temple Mount? Palestine does. Who does their studies up there? They pay Muslims to go up there and have Quran studies. Why? To make it look like the Palestinians have supreme control. We couldn't go into the Dome of the Rock when we were up there. You know what? There could be a day where a war breaks out and that Temple Mount gets given back to Israel and a temple is built. You know what I'm going to encourage you to do? Watch. Watch. Because if that happens, woo, we're close. Closer than we've ever been. What did Jesus tell the disciples? They had a temple in Jerusalem at that time when Jesus was on the earth. He looked at the temple and he said, you know what? I'm going to tear this temple down in 3 days. I'm going to rise again. Now, he was speaking about the temple of his body, but also he was predicting the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And in AD 70, what happened to the temple in Jerusalem? Torn down. Not one stone left upon another. When we were in Jerusalem, Rachel and I, we got to see they still have some rubble that they told us was from the original temple, not the original, but the temple mount that was torn down in Jesus' day. And I'm looking at it going, 2,000 years and they still haven't cleaned up the mess, right? What's going on here? But you could see the temple that was there, it was destroyed. So what should we watch for? Watch for this, a temple being built. Next thing that we should watch for, sacrifice becoming part of temple worship. Now, you'll read there's a lot of reports about how they're training priests to do animal sacrifices, and they're actually doing animal sacrifices. You'll hear reports all the time about red heifers and all these types of things, and you're going, we're almost there. Well, I'll tell you what, when they have a temple to build it or to sacrifice in, and they start sacrificing in the temple, that's one of those things you can look at that and go, ooh, I've read that in Scripture. That's part of the parable of the fig tree. Things that we should be watching for. Because Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation. So the next thing is that when you see a world leader come into a covenant with 10 nations. If you want to read the scriptures on that, you can read in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9. I put the verses in your bulletin. There will be a world leader who will come onto the scene. There's a temple. There's animal sacrifice taking place in the temple. And he will make a covenant with these 10 nations. He's seemingly at that point in time, he's an important religious figure, political figure, and he will eventually become the most important political and religious figure. But at that point, he's just in a covenant. You know what? If they divide up the world into 10 nation groups, which can't you see that happening with the UN? Can't you see that happening with everything in Europe, where Europe is becoming more and more one, and they would like the Americas to be more and more one? Can you just see our world divided up into 10 different nations? If that happens, watch. Be aware. Go, wow, Scripture, it's happening. And then the Antichrist makes them stop sacrificing. That's the abomination of desolation. I put a bunch of verses in the bulletin for you to look up. So, you have a guy make a covenant. Never once does he call himself the Antichrist, by the way. That would be kind of self-defeating, right? He's not going to stand up and go, I'm the Antichrist, and the world's going to be like, oh, no. He's going to stand up and say he is God. Now, here's just something interesting. In Israel, the Muslims expect that Jesus Christ will be the next person to go through the East Gate. The East Gate is all boarded up. During the Crusades, they put stones in it and sealed it up. The Muslims believe that Jesus, it's in the Quran, it's part of the prophecy, will be the next one to enter through the East Gate, and that he'll establish a kingdom for Muhammad. Okay? The Jews that live in Jerusalem, they believe that the next person to go through the East Gate is the first coming of the Messiah. They believe the Messiah will be the next one to go through there. The Orthodox Church there in Israel, whether it be Greek Orthodox, Roman Orthodox, those who associate themselves with Christianity, most of them believe that the next person to go through that East Gate is Jesus. Just imagine with me, what if the next person to go through that East Gate is the Antichrist? Because you know the Bible doesn't say that the next person to go through the East Gate is the Messiah. Because the East Gate was boarded up years, hundreds of years after Jesus. Hundreds of years after Jesus. So this is all tradition of men, but this tradition of man is permeated into so many people's religious thinking. And imagine if somebody were to walk through that East Gate, walk into the temple, say no more sacrifice, and everybody's going to look at it and go, he walked through the temple first, or he walked through that East Gate first. He must be Messiah, must be Jesus, must be Christ. Can you see how that deception would be so great? So if you're watching and you see that happen, you know this is not the real Christ. Because when Jesus returns, he doesn't return that way. He returns as the lightning flashes. Okay? He's not going to be going through a gate. His return is going to, think of this, a worldwide spectacular lightning bolt that strikes from the east to the west, and every eye will behold, Revelation 1 tells us, and see him. It will be something that's miraculous and spectacular, and it won't be anything that can be replicated or duplicated by humanity. The fifth thing that we should see from this, he tells them to stop sacrificing. The Antichrist proclaims himself as God. Okay, again, anybody standing in this earth proclaiming himself to be God will know better because we know what the scripture teaches. There's a lot of traditions out there that teach other things. But we know what Jesus is like. When he comes back, he gathers together his own. And where do we meet him? On the earth? No, we meet him in the clouds. So any gathering, any return of any being that doesn't take place where his believers meet him in the clouds, then it's not Jesus Christ. Number six, the Antichrist goes to war with the saints. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that deal with that. I put several up in there in your bulletin. And, hey, when you see that your life may be lost for standing for, you know, there are other places in the world where this already happens. We happen to live in a very blessed land where we have the freedom to talk about Jesus Christ and not fear for our lives. There are other places in this world where they don't have that freedom. Can you imagine a world? We're talking about Jesus Christ and saying that your faith in him is different than the world leader, political, religious leader, that'll make you stand out and be different. And your life will be on the line for believing in Jesus. And then number seven, the sun and moon go dark. Now, here's how you can know. How many of you, like, when the blood moons, you know, you saw a whole bunch of stuff. This is the rapture. This is the return, right? Anybody see that, you know, or the eclipse or something like that? All right. Are the blood moons or the darkening of the sun and moon, that's all a miraculous thing. And there are other things you can look for that lead up to that. So don't be deceived when someone, next time there's an eclipse, or the next time there's a blood moon, don't be deceived by people that say, oh, this is it. No. There's some other things that have to take place first, right? For that to be the it of Scripture. And so we should be wise to that. We are to be watching. And if you don't know what you're watching for, how can we watch? No man knows the day or the hour. It tells us right there. Jesus said, hey, listen, no man knows the day or the hour. He says, the angels in heaven don't know. And Jesus says, the Son of Man. He said, while he was on earth, he said, I don't even know. But only the Father. Now, no man knows the day or the hour, but we should know the seasons. That's why he shares this parable with us. This is the purpose of the fig tree parable, to let us know the seasons. When I was in college, I worked third shift for a little while, security for the college. And I remember I had you weren't supposed to work back-to-back night shifts, okay, third shift. You weren't supposed to do that back-to-back. I was on my third night of consecutive third shifts because people kept calling in sick, and so I ended up just getting called and saying, you need to take this. So I was on my third one, and I was playing college football at the time, so I was already exhausted from school, from work, and from playing football. And it was a Saturday. I had a game that day, and then that night I had third shift duties for the third night. And in the morning at 6 o'clock a.m., I was supposed to have West Main, which was it's the big building, main building on campus. I was supposed to have that unlocked and opened so that the choir, who is going off on some singing thing at a church, so they could get in, get all the stuff they needed. And the president of the college was actually leading the group that day. So I had my alarm set to tell me to go open the main building at 6 a.m. Well, I fell asleep. And it was about 5:30 when I fell asleep. And at 5:45, guess who came in to my guard shack? The president of the college. Dr. Winokur came in, and he tapped me on the forehead. And I remember looking up going, "Ah!" You know, I got caught sleeping. I said, I didn't think I was supposed to open up the main building until 6. He goes, "Right, but I'm early." You know what, folks? I knew it was supposed to be open. I fell asleep. I blew it. I got in trouble. If we fall asleep, if we aren't watching, then we will blow it. It doesn't mean you're not going to have eternal life. It means that you will be living in a way that you shouldn't be, and you should know better. He's given us signs. He's given us seasons. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it has this really interesting things that he says. In 1 Thessalonians 5, turn there with me, verses 1 through 11. Read through this real quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." That day is going to overtake all the unbelievers by surprise. They're not going to see it coming. But what does Paul tell the church at Thessalonica? He's telling us too. You are not overtaken like a thief in the night. You aren't going to be caught that way. Because you see the signs. You see the seasons. We don't know the day or the hour. But when you see those things happening, watch. And you know what? If you don't see those things happening, watch for those things to be happening. I'm going to close with three groups that are described at the end of the parable that Jesus told. This master, he leaves, and he leaves three groups of people. And he doesn't tell them when he's coming back. He just tells them, "I'll be coming back." The first group are the servants. They are to serve until the master returns. Let's let each one of us find our place among these three, or maybe all three of these things apply to us. Are you a servant of God? Are you a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ? He's left, but he said, "I'm coming back." Serve until your master returns. Second group he talks about are the workers. They work until the master returns. You know what I appreciate so much about so many of our senior saints here at 12th Street? I've had so many of you tell me I don't believe in spiritual retirement. Praise God. Because we don't serve until we hit the age of retirement, right? And I see it bear out in so many of your lives. You serve until when? Until the master returns. Because there is work to do. And then there's the porter. The porter, he's the watchman. Charged with watching. Needs to be observant, watching until the master returns. So we should be serving, we should be working, and we should be watching. Don't get caught sleeping. So I'm going to end with a little modern day parable to drive this home. Sam, could you help me out? Roger and Topher, could you get you three help me out here? You all have an opportunity to make 20 bucks right now, okay? All right? You have an opportunity to make 20 bucks. Sam, oops, sorry. Sam, come here. So Sam, oh, is it tight?
Not too bad.
Not too bad? Oh, I'll fix that. All right, Sam, can you see anything?
No.
All right, good. All right, you come and you stay right there. All right? Topher? Make sure that's on your head, good. If it's too loud, good. All right, can you hear me, Topher? Can you hear me talking? Here you go, hold that. All right, and Roger, I need you to go out that door right there. Just stand out there. Okay. Oh, Topher, I need you to just turn around. If you could just turn around. Don't face me, just turn around. All right. Stop. Good. All right. I'm going to give this to whichever one of them walks up to me first. All they have to do. I mean, this is kind of crazy, isn't it? But they're not. Don't help him. Keep my money. Come on. Now, wait a minute. Why are they not taking me up on my offer? Well, one of them can't hear because he's distracted. One of them can't see me. He has no clue what's going on. And one of them's outside. Now listen. How many of us are too distracted with life to be watching for what God wants for us? We're not working, we're not serving, we're not watching. We're just... Some of you, the sum total of your Christianity is, I show up to church on Sunday morning. And you know what? Praise God. That's great. But that's not watching. All we can do right here when we get together is help motivate and inspire and encourage you to watch better. Some people are even in the picture. Poor Roger, he's out there. He has no clue what's going on, does he? He might be able to hear a little bit of this, but he has no idea. You know, when you miss service after service, when you're not spending time with God's people, you know what happens? You're missing out. And then some of you, you're blind. You're present, but you're not aware. God wants us watching. The interesting thing about this is that Jesus didn't say, he didn't make it like a suggestion, like, you know, it'd be really cool if you watch. What did he say? I say to all of you, watch. It's an imperative command. We must be watching. And so as we close out the service this morning, don't be like these three guys. They're all missing out. So, hey guys, well, I got to help them out here. Let's give them a big hand. Sam, you can go have a seat. You can have a seat there, Topher. Here, Roger, you can go have a seat. Hey guys, you all missed out on getting a $20 bill. I had it ready for you, but you weren't watching, you weren't listening, and you weren't present. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that you would help all of us, that we would be watching. Lord, you've got so much work right here in Kalamazoo. You've got work all over the world. And I pray, Lord, that we will be serving, we will be working, and we will be watching. Help us, God, in the moments where we get selfish. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we just don't feel like serving. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we are just too self-absorbed to work. I pray, God, that we would be watching. Everything we do in this life, Lord, it's reflected in eternity. And I thank you for this parable this morning, that there are signs, there are seasons. We can see the events of this earth, and just like the fig tree, it said, summer's here. We can see these events and know that this is the end. And so, God, help us to be faithful servants to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't be watching because you don't know what you're watching for. You don't understand that there is a God who sent his Son to die on the cross for your sin, and he's coming back. You may understand the facts of that, but you don't understand the reality of it until you trust Jesus, until that becomes a reality to you. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, while we sing this last song, I'm going to stand at the front, and I would invite you to come and just tell me that you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It would be the greatest thing that you could ever do. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, while we sing In Christ Alone, you haven't been watching, then the invitation for you is just come up here and say, God, I am sorry. I haven't been working. I haven't been serving. I haven't been watching. God, I want to be faithful to you. And I guarantee you this morning, your God is good and gracious. He will forgive you your sin. He will encourage you, and he will help motivate you to watch and to work for him. Let's stand together as we sing the song.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. The world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine.
band can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. The power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
I would just like to take a second and just tell you, Pastor, how much we appreciate and love you. And when you give a devotion or a lesson or a sermon or whatever you're doing, you're breaking it down for the layman to hear, to understand, the uneducated like I am, the ones that need a little help along the way. And you've encouraged me and you've encouraged this church throughout the years. And I want to give you the best pastor award, but that would be kind of silly. You know, but you are. In my heart and in the church's heart, you are awesome. You are everything we need. And the thing that we love about you is when you're up here telling your parables or your stories that God's laid on your heart, it's right out of the Word of God. It's not just you. It's how God is working in your life. And not that I've been a person under your counseling, but I have, okay? When you go in for counseling with you and we sit down, it's not that you know everything and I know nothing. It's you open the Bible and you read the Bible and you say, let's talk about the situation that you're going through. And you encourage me from the Word of God. And I love that about you. You are awesome and you are loving and kind. The example that you set with your family in front of this church leading our flock, we appreciate you. And therefore, we've gotten you a gift certificate to go stay in the Radisson Hotel, downtown Kalamazoo. Utilize the hot tubs at the Oasis and take your wife to dinner at the Webster's. Whenever you feel like you want us to make those reservations, we will do that. Because we love and appreciate you. It just happened to be your birthday yesterday, so happy birthday as well. But thank you on behalf of the church. And now, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to pray because I love the way he dismisses our service every week. So, Pastor, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Well, thank you. I love my church family, so thank you. Lord God, you are good. I thank you that every good thing that comes out of us is from you. Thank you that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above.
From the Father of lights, because with you there is no variableness or shadow of changing. Thank you for being our great God. And I thank you for the awesome promise that you will return. And I thank you that you will reclaim this earth as yours. And that you will reign as king. And Lord, that we will be with you. And so to you we give all the praise and all the glory because you are the good God. So now, unto him that sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb, be glory and honor and power and dominion both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him.